Bruni. He's the CEO and president of International Christian Funds. Did I say that right? International Children's Funds. So that means that the children are not Christians, or they could be both, right? Some are, some aren't. They will be when you get done with them. International Children's Funds. We've had people from this church work in this organization, but he's been around, he's been connected to this church for over 40 years. So with the founding father of this church, Jim Erickson, you were friends with him. And connected with some of the elders that have been around forever, the real old ones, the guys with the real white hair, not the just the salt and pepper stuff. Like Craig. You've known Craig a long time, haven't you? Craig's a really old guy. So old. But David is connected with this church during that time. He's worked in over probably 20 different countries in that time, bringing aid to those that need aid. So when we think in terms of evangelists, we think of David Bruni because he shares the gospel that people would receive Christ. When we think of what happens to an evangelist that's impassioned, we think of missionaries, somebody who goes out into foreign lands to preach the gospel, to bring the love of Christ to people. When we think of missionaries, sometimes we even go and think of people who operate in the apostolic. And that's going into breaking new ground where the gospel has not been presented yet. So when we think of these things, we think of David Bruni. So you could just encourage him as he comes forward to share with us. So David.
Better now?
Blowing you away now.
I think we're good now, right? Wonderful. Yes, go back many, many years. I had many lunches with Jim Erickson and then with Pastor Jerry and Don Olson. And I remember the very day that Craig walked into my office when I was at WEMI radio station. Craig, how many years ago was that? 39 years ago, that guy walked into my office on the second floor of the studios at WEMI radio station, and we had some great conversations and some wonderful things happened as a result of that meeting. Craig's a great guy, I'll tell you. And the thing I like about him is he's not a follower. He's a student. And we all need to be students and not followers, because many times we can go the wrong way. Pastor Mike, I appreciate you so much this morning saying a word about our fallen veterans. I am a patriot. I love America. I've been around the world. I tell you today, as bad as you may think it be, America is still the greatest country in the world. Amen? It is. I have served this country in a couple of different capacities and in several places, and I have deep, deep feelings for veterans and those that commit their life to serving not only in our military, but in the public in general. I want to share with you a little thing that happened to me a number of years ago. We live up in the Wapak area, and one of our seasonal neighbors up there goes to the Manawa Rodeo every year. Has anybody ever been to the Manawa Rodeo? You got any rodeo fans here? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. And we always have a lot of company. Every holiday, we got company. Kids come, grandkids come. It's always a big time. First barbecue of the year with the families usually tomorrow, right? And this friend of ours always said, you gotta go to the rodeo. Every year he put on his cowboy hat, his cowboy boots, and he went to the rodeo and would come back and tell us how great the rodeo was. One particular year, as it turned out, we didn't have the company that we usually do. We were alone. And he said, you gotta come to the rodeo. So Marcy and I, we did not put on our cowboy boots, we did not put on our cowboy hats, but we went to the rodeo in Manawal. And the announcer is just a tremendous guy. He's got a very charismatic voice, very good voice. He knows what to say and how to say it. And being it's always on the 4th of July, they also honor the military. And so in his presentation, he said, we want to honor those that serve in the United States Army. And then out of the chute broke a rider on a horse with an American flag and an Army flag, and he lapped the track. Everybody's standing. Awesome. Then he said, the United States Navy. And then a horseman came out with a flag and the Navy, and he lapped the track. And then it was the Marine Corps and the various branches of the military going around the track, and everybody's standing in awe as we celebrate the military of the United States of America. The last horse out of the chute was without a rider, without a rider. Being taken by another man with a horse, leading the horse without a rider. That fallen soldier that died in the sacrifice of this country. As it turned out, we were sitting facing the west towards the sun, and I had my aviator sunglasses on, and I was so glad I did. Because when they bought that last horse out without a rider, this old boy could not take it any longer. Tears rolling down my cheeks. I'm so broken up. That gets to me. I'm sure if I wouldn't have had those sunglasses on, somebody watching me probably thought I was having a nervous breakdown. A couple weeks ago, I did a military funeral for a fallen member of the Coast Guard. Over 30 Coast Guard people showed up for the funeral in full dress uniform. And the gun salute and the whole thing. And again, I'm so moved and so touched. And there's a correlation here. Because we know someone that was willing to die for us. Not just for the nation, but for the sins of the whole world. Think about it. Pretty awesome. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today. I thank you for Pastor Mike and all the elders and the leadership of this church. Lord, I thank you for the many years that this church has stood in Green Bay as a beacon for Jesus Christ, proclaiming the good news. And Lord, we know that there are multitudes of people that have been touched by every pastor that's ever stood in this church. And we thank you for those whose lives were saved and transformed. We thank you for those that God have gone on into ministry and those that are indeed continuing to touch others for the cause of Christ. So, Lord, we commit this time into your hands. We pray that you would lead, guide, and direct. Speak to each and every one of us in a special way. Because, God, we are a needy people, and we need to hear from you. Yes, we do. We need your direction, your guidance. We need to hear from you, so we're asking you today, speak to us. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have a subject today. Why is Jesus Christ the only way? Why is he the only way? Well, you see, we have a problem. Man has a problem. We have two major problems. Somebody said, well, Dr. Rooney, if you know me, I got a whole lot more than two problems. I tell you, the world's got problems. Everybody's got problems. But we have two major problems. Sin and death. let's talk about death and taxes. Well, taxes will disappear someday too. But for sure we have a sin problem, for sure we have a death problem. Life at best is short. If you're here today and you're healthy, you have a lot to be thankful for. When I wake up in the morning, the first thing I do is say, thank you, God, I'm still here. I'm ready to go, but thank you for life. And use me today, guide me today, direct me today. Give me opportunities to represent you in a godly way. John 14, 6 says, Jesus speaking here, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father except by me. Man's problem is death. What happens when we die? Big question. Well, Jesus knows exactly what happens when we die. And that's why he is the way, the truth, and the life. Who else can we go to? He's already been there. He's already done it. Wouldn't you go to that person that's already been there and already done it? Doesn't that just make sense? You know, one thing I've learned in traveling the world, going so many different places, I'll say, never deny local knowledge. Never deny local knowledge. Many times people do things the way they do it, and they have a good reason for doing it. And sometimes we come along with our American technology and our American way of doing things, and we think we can do it better, only to find out, you know what? They know what they're doing. Tell you a few little stories. I'm a fisherman, love fishing, and I've been over Uganda many times, seeing the Nile River. I always wanted to fish the Nile River, never had an opportunity. A number of years ago, I was there, and it was just as far from me to that back door away, but I couldn't get to it as there was a steep bank going down. And I did have a little collapsible fishing pole with me and a little equipment, and I was tickled with me. I thought someday, someway, somehow I might be able to fish the Nile. So I asked the security guard there, I said, is there a way to get down to the Nile? No, he said, there's no way you can get there from here. But if you go next door, he said, there they have a step that goes down to the banks of the Nile. He said, if you like, I'll take you over there and introduce you to the security guy. He can take you down there. So I said, well, just wait a minute. So I went back up to my room. I got my little bag of fishing equipment, and I ran over. He took me next door, introduced me to the man. We walked down the steps of the Nile. There I stood, little patch about so big of ground that was wore down, and there flowed the Nile River. Nile River is big, and it's very swift, really moved. And the security guy said, well, this is the river. I said, is it all right? Can I fish here? Yeah, you can fish here. So I got my fish pole out. It's a telescopic thing, you know, and I pulled it out, and everybody's watching. Put a little bobber on, put a hook on, sinker, hooked it off, and I flipped it out there in the river, and the current took it. And he looked at me. So Mr. said, I think if you want to catch fish, you got to go a little deeper. Well, thanks for the information. I appreciate it. And I said, are you a fisherman? Oh, yeah. I said, I'm a fisherman. I said, well, when you go fishing, where do you go fishing? He said, I have a boat on the other side of the river over there in the reeds. Really? You got a boat? And when are you going fishing next? Well, he said, I was going to go tomorrow. Wonderful. What would it take for me to go fishing with you? Well, he said, you could buy the worms. I said, how much are the worms? And it was like 50 cents. So I gave him the equivalent of $2. I said, get a lot of worms. Where do you leave it? He said, meet me there at 8 o'clock. I said, okay. It's over there by those reeds. Yeah, he said, you can't miss it. Just get over the bridge, turn on the left, it's right there. My boat is in there. So I told our partner, George Cashaw, George, cancel that appointment. Move it back 2 hours with that hospital we're going to because I'm going fishing. He said, what? I said, I'm going fishing tomorrow. The security guy from the hotel next door, he's taking me fishing in his boat. He said, you're not going on that Nile River in a boat. No way. He said, I'm not going to call Marcy and tell her you died in the Nile and you might be in Egypt. It ain't going to happen. I said, Ralph, I said, George, I'm a very good swimmer. Very good swimmer. And I'm going to go fishing. Next morning, I get up, I go over there, and believe it or not, his boat is a dugout canoe. It's hardly got enough room for me to sit in, because I'm a lot bigger than he is. And his anchor is a big rock tied on a rope. And he doesn't have any oars or oarlocks. He's got a paddle. So we paddle it over to the other side. And I'm looking around. I'm wondering, where is his fishing equipment? He ain't got nothing to fish with. But he had a water bottle, like this one right here. And he had a bunch of line wrapped around it. And I thought, what in the world is he going to do? So we got out to where he wanted to fish, and he took the line off the bottle, threw it over his shoulder, put a hook on, put a little piece of lead on, put two night crawlers on the hook. He was playing David against Goliath. Flipped that thing out there in the current, and the current took the bait down the river, and all of a sudden, whoop, he's pulling the line, putting it back over his shoulder, and he catches a big tilapia. I said, whoa, we're in a good spot, right? And so I got my pole, I got it all telescoped out, I got my reel on, I got the bobber on, got everything all rigged up. And he's watching me, this newfangled thing. And we're fishing, and he's got like 10, 11 tilapia in the boat. And I got zero. I said, what in the world am I doing wrong? I'm watching him, trying to figure out what he's doing that I'm not doing. Finally, he turns around and he says to me, he said, I think if you want to catch fish, you've got to do what I'm doing. He said, get rid of that thing and run the line through your finger. Good idea. Cut my line, threw it over my shoulder. Did the David and Goliath thing, flipped it out there. I could feel it hitting the bottom, and all of a sudden I felt a little tug on that line through the crease of my index finger. I got a fish. Never deny local knowledge. I've learned that many, many times. So many times we think we have all the answers. I'm saying that to say this. If you want to know something about something, go to somebody that's done it. I always tell our people, you can learn a lot by listening, watching, observing, and never be afraid to ask questions. Sometimes people are afraid to ask questions because they think it's going to be embarrassing to them. I ask a lot of questions because I want a lot of answers. And I go to the people that I believe are most likely to be able to give me the answers that I'm looking for. Another little illustration. I started playing tennis when I was 9 years old. One thing I learned very quickly, I never wanted to play anybody that I could beat. It's always fun to win. How many know it's fun to win? But when you win, you don't learn much. But if you play tennis with somebody that's better than you are, you know what happens? You get better. That's true. So listen, watch, observe, ask questions. And that's why I'm saying today that Jesus Christ could say, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, because he knows. To who else can we go when we talk about sin and death? He's been there. He's done it. So we can learn from him. Don't be a follower. Be a student. Let's look at number one. Who said this? Jesus said it. Who is he? He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the King of the universe, the Mighty One, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending. I think he's pretty important, don't you? Healed the sick, opened blind eyes, rose people from the dead. So many things. Awesome guy. Pretty important. So he is the way. And he's the truth. And let's ask ourselves today, what is truth? What is truth? Many people ask that question. Many people want to know, what is the truth? How do we know? The truth is life in Jesus Christ. And we can count on what he said because we have a history from the beginning of time of the Word of God. The Torah. Ralph, the first five books of Moses. Amen. The Tanakh, the Old Testament. The Second Covenant, the New Testament. The words of God. The words of people that followed him, been through so many different things. Time and time again, God showing himself strong to his people. Over and over and over again. Every year, the book that is sold the most in the world is this book. The problem is many times we don't spend enough time in it. And if you want God to speak to you, you get in this book and he'll speak to you. He will. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. Knowing that man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified, made right. How many want to be made right? That's the key. We want to be made right. Justified by faith of Jesus Christ, not of works of the law. Why? For the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. You know today that we have billions, I say billions of people around the world that are trying to just themselves by works. How many know that's true? So many religions. They're trying to justify themselves in a position of goodness with God by doing good things. Now let me tell you, good things are good to do. We don't serve God and do the things that we do because we have to. We do it because we want to. How many know that's true? I've had malaria 3 times. The last time it almost killed me. Somebody said, why do you keep going there? One of these times you might not come back. I said, that would be a victory. Amen? That would be a victory. And I don't do it because I have to. I want to do it because that guy, that Jesus, died for me. He took upon himself my sin. He suffered and he bled and paid the price for my sin. Wow, how can I not love him? How can I not serve him? How can I not do what he has commanded me to do? And I tell you this today, folks, he's got something for you to do too. He just did not call you to be his own. He just did not give you a pretty face so you could sit around and come to church on Sunday mornings and maybe come to a Bible study once a week and maybe put a little money in the offering. Folks, that's not going to cut it. It's not going to cut it. It's by grace through faith. You don't deserve it. In fact, you know what we deserve? We deserve to die and go to hell. But God in his mercy, God in his grace, God in his loving kindness says, if you believe in me, I will forgive you of all of your sins. Wow, how can we avoid that? We're going to the man now that knows about death, knows about life, knows about eternity. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us. You see, folks, we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But we can activate it. We can have it by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. That's the key. It's faith. Without faith, we can never please God. I often tell the story about you go into a judge's office or into an attorney's office, and usually they have a little metal thing, or a scale with a blind judge. You know what I'm talking about? And he's got, it's a balance beam. And justice balances. One side, we look at that, as our life, and we have all the bad things we've ever done. Somebody says, well, I've never done any bad things. Yeah, you have. You just don't want to talk about it. You've done bad things. You've done things you don't want anybody to know about. You even try and deny it yourself. But yeah, you've got bad things over here. So we think, well, if I do enough good things on this side of the scale, amen, God will say, oh, yeah, he did some bad, but oh, he did more good than bad. The good went way down. He's a good guy. He can come to heaven. You know, there's multitudes, millions and billions of people that believe that's the way it is. You ask somebody, what do you think about life and death? Well, I guess someday I'm going to die. You think you'll go to heaven? Well, I don't know. I think I will. Thinking you will won't get you there. How many know that's true? Thinking you will won't get you there. And then 9 times out of 10, they all say, well, I've been a pretty good person. Being a pretty good person won't cut it. That won't do the job. It's by grace through faith. And that's the message. And that's how we can know that we have eternal life. That's how we can represent Jesus Christ. And if you're a Christian today, you have a testimony. And God wants you to share that testimony. That is your story. If you look at the Apostle Paul, he was Saul. Every place he went, what did he do? He said, let me tell you what happened to me on the road to Damascus. You know what happened to Paul on the way to Damascus, right? Huh? He told the story over and over and over again. You got a story. How many times have you told that story? That story is your story. It cannot be denied. That is your story. You need to be busy telling that story, because that story can change the lives of other people. You know that when you pray, God listens? You know that? When you pray, God listens. And when God listens, he talks. And usually he'll talk through this one way or another. That's why you need to be in it. If you're not in it, I tell you today, get in it. It will change your life. And if you believe God is going to work, he will work. But you got to believe it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Talking to a gentleman earlier today. And I said, a lot of times in my teaching and training of pastors in many countries around the world, people come to me confused and not sure what they're supposed to do, how they're supposed to do it. And many times I ask the question, if you could do anything in the world you wanted to do and you knew you would not fail, what would you do? That's an interesting question, isn't it? Think about it. If you could do anything in the world, you, anybody here, if you could do anything in the world you wanted to do and you knew you wouldn't fail, what would you do? That's a dynamite question. And that's the very thing that holds many people back, because they are afraid of failure. I'll say failure is a great teacher. Fail, F-A-I-L. First attempt in learning. Fail. First attempt in learning. That's failure. You can't give up. You got to keep going. And if you step out to do what you believe God wants you to do, God will be with you. God will lead you. He will direct you. And if it's his will, he'll pay the bill. Hello. Are you with me? And I've seen that happen over and over and over and over and over again and again. The bottom line for me in Christianity is feed the hungry, clothe the naked, preach the gospel, teach others to do the same, take care of the widows, take care of the orphans. I believe that's the heartbeat of God. So we do those things, and in the process, we're able to reach people for Christ. Last 6 months, we drilled 5 water wells in desperate villages in different parts of Africa. Say, why are you coming here, drilling this well? For what? Why? Well, you need clean water because you need good health. Well, who's paying for it? Why are you doing this? What's the catch? What do we have to do? You don't have to do nothing. Just receive it. Oh, but why are you doing it? We're doing it because God loves you. He loves you. And he wants you to have clean water. But let me tell you about this God. Now you got their ears because you did something for them. You know when you do something for somebody, you got their attention? That's true. Recently we found out we've been doing some things, especially in Uganda. There's so many kids over here that got what they call jiggers. They're like fleas. They don't have shoes. They get in their feet and they lay their worms and their feet get so infested they can't walk, they can't go to school. And we're treating those kids and then giving them shoes. We're giving them clean water. We're passing out, we have given deworming medicine to literally tens of thousands of people just within the last year. And a lot of that is because of the help of this church. Because kids get worms, and if they get a little something to eat, they can't get the nutrition because the worms get the nutrition before they do. And literally millions of them die. And we send mosquito nets to keep the mosquitoes off them at night so they don't get malaria. Every 10 seconds, somebody dies in the world of malaria. And it's treatable. That's why we send all these mosquito nets. When you do something for somebody, you've got their attention. That's why we're developing new programs in different countries. And even recently, we're stepping into the Middle East. We don't talk about it much because it's a very dangerous place. But those people in the Middle East, they need to know about Jesus also, right? They need to know who's going to go there. And that's why we use indigenous people. They know the language, the culture, the tradition. They'll reach their own people. Our job, teach, train, and equip. Teach, train, equip. That is the bottom line. But hear me. When you pray, God listens. God will speak to you. And if you believe, you can move ahead in victory, because if it's his will, he'll pay the bill. He really will. I've seen it happen so many times. Unbelievable. God is a good God. He's a gracious God. He'll do for you what needs to be done for you to do what he's called you to do. Wow, that's really something, isn't it? The Bible says that we are the salt of the earth. But if we keep sugarcoating this gospel, hello, if we keep sugarcoating it, it will lose its power. It's true. Paul said, if the Lord's will, I'll come to you shortly to see not your puffed up language, but your power. God has given the church power. But we're sitting back and we're not using it. We're afraid to step up because we're afraid of failure. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and onwards. It is written, there are none righteous, no, not one. Search the world over, you'll never find a person righteous. I don't care if it's Mother Teresa, Mahatma Gandhi, whoever you want to pick. There's none that are righteous. No, not one person can claim themselves righteous outside of that man we look to today, Jesus Christ. There are none that understand, it says in Romans. We've all gone out of the way. All together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, a grave. And their tongues they've used as deceit. It's like a poisonous ass under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursings and bitterness, and their feet are swift to shed blood and destruction and misery. That is the way of man in all their ways. The way of peace, he says, they have not known. Should not the church be a place of peace? You know what man is looking for today? He's looking for peace. He can't find peace. That's why he's doing drugs. That's why he's into alcohol. That's why he's into all kinds of illicit things. You know what I'm talking about. He's trying to find something that'll give him happiness, something that'll give him peace. I tell you today, there's only one way you'll ever find peace, and that's through Jesus Christ. That's through the knowledge of sins forgiven. That's it. Simple. Like I said, if the church keeps sugarcoating the gospel, it'll lose its salt. What does salt do? It preserves, amen. It makes things taste good. We need to be salt, church. We really do. A lot of things goofed up in the world today. Grab a hold of this one. Gradually, the unthinkable becomes tolerant. Think about it. Gradually, over time, the unthinkable becomes tolerant. Things that never would have happened, never would have been talked about, things that were shunned and covered up in the closet for years, today are being tolerated. The unthinkable becomes tolerated. And then it becomes acceptable. Hello. And then it becomes legal. Hello. And then it becomes praised. Think about it. I don't want to get into details, but I think you know what I'm talking about. I don't care what man legalizes it. If God says it's sin, it's sin. It's true. You may not like that, but sin is sin. You can pass all the legislation you want to about anything, regardless of how perverted it is. And I tell you, it's getting more and more perverted all the time. Where is the salt? Making it legal doesn't make it right in God's eyes. You know what Muhammad said? He said, I don't even know the purpose of life. Muhammad don't know. Buddha said, I don't know the truth. So he told his followers, I don't know the truth. Confucius said, I'm not the way. It's not me. And yet there's millions and billions of people that follow these people today. But Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. Folks, it's just that simple. This book has been around so many years. So many lives have been changed by the power of this book. Alcoholics delivered, drug addicts delivered, prostitutes and drug dealers rehabilitated. Some of the worst and most vile people you could think of come to Christ and find peace. The peace that all of mankind is looking for. And if you're here today and you don't have that peace, let me tell you today, it's available to you absolutely free. It's free. There's nothing you can do to deserve it. Nothing. You can build a church 10 times as big, all with your own money and effort. You know what it'd be worth? In God's eyes, nothing. You can make big donations to every organization you wanted to make that you thought was good. You know what it'd be worth? Nothing. There's only one thing that's worth something, and that's faith in Jesus Christ. And when you give your life to Christ, your life will be changed. And let me tell you today, if you're here in this congregation and you don't know life and you don't know Christ, you have no idea what you're missing. Because I can tell you, life at best is short. And we have two big problems. Remember what they were? Sin and death. Sin and death. Have you made provision for your sin? And have you made provision for eternal life? Because that's what we all want. We all want to know that when we close our eyes for the last time and we breathe our last breath, I believe as a Christian that next breath will be in heaven. And I will stand before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe. And I'm not going to jump into his arms and call him Daddy. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm hitting the dust and soul of everybody else. And you're going to say, worthy, worthy is the Lord God Almighty. The Bible says in Colossians, all things were made by, for him, by him, and for him, and he's the creator of all things. Think about it. The technology, the awesomeness of the human body, the fact that trees can grow, the fact that we have air, we can breathe. I mean, you'd have to be absolutely stupid to think there is not a divine creator. He's all around us. And he's begging you today, come to me and I will give you peace. I will transform your life. I will use you to the glory of my name. Amen. Pastor James, would you come? I'd like us to, in closing, sing that song that we sang earlier, Amazing Grace. Because you know, folks, that's what it is. It is. It's amazing grace. We don't deserve it. It's grace. It's free. It's available to anyone that is willing to humble themselves and say, God, forgive me, a sinner. I know I've sinned. I've made mistakes. In fact, a lot of us, including myself, intentionally have sinned. How many know that's true? We have. We have intentionally sinned. We have done things we know we weren't supposed to do, but we did it anyway because we thought we could get away with it. How many know that's true? But God in his great love, God in his mercy, God in his grace says, come to me. Come to me. Believe in me. Accept my forgiveness, and I will give to you eternal life. Let's sing it together.
Amen.